Hello.
Oh, that was an excited one.
Well, it's a new year, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Even though we're recording before.
Yeah, but nobody needs to know.
I'm a bit always skeptical to I'm a bit superstitious with stuff when you say like Happy New Year, just in case, what if we didn't get to it? Anyway, go
Welcome to
on.
Gaze on Film. This podcast is where we, a pair of gays, talk about what we're watching. I'm Ned.
And I'm Declan.
And in this episode, we'll be talking about what we're looking forward to this year in film and TV in our 2024 preview. No spoilers at all this time. It's pretty much all trailers and speculation, to be honest. Of course, because we've not seen any of these yet. Remember that this is just a selection and there are still lots and lots of films and shows we still don't know about or that we don't have time to talk about. So that's just what makes New Year so exciting.
Yeah, we've decided to do it a bit different because last year we went through month by month, which got a bit
I think I got a bit
long-winded.
sick of the sound of my own voice, to be honest.
And as podcasters, that's never good.
No.
So this year we've decided when it comes to films, we've picked five each for what we're
Yes.
looking
And
forward
let me
to.
tell you, I found it quite a challenge to pick only five, based on what we know is coming out and
Yeah.
trailers that
What
are already
always
out.
excites me about the new year as well is like obviously all of the bigger films have been given release dates already, or we know things are coming.
Yeah.
But I also love like how, like when we went to Leeds Film Festival last year, we discovered films that we'd have never have watched on, or like this time last year, we didn't even really know were coming,
Yeah.
or not much about the Poor Things, the Holdovers, like all sorts of stuff. There's just, and while this is it, it's like there's so much just reading what's coming and knowing what's coming that I'm excited about. But I also get so excited about just what we don't know what's coming and what'll just totally take us by surprise and
Yes.
maybe become one of our favorite
Yes.
films of the past, I don't know how long.
Well, I know. And I think what's exciting about 2024 as well is because of the events of the previous year, of last year, a lot of stuff that we were expecting to have seen by now has been pushed back into next year.
Yes, a
So
few bits
it's
have.
like a few, it's like delayed gratification from 2023.
Yes.
So lots to be looking forward to, I think.
Well, let's start with just talking queer representation and what we would like to see more of in 2024.
Yes, and I wasn't quite sure what you meant by this question, so I had a little think, but I think I've come up with some quite good things.
Well, in our review of the year, again, I kind of said, which is similar to 2022, that a lot of queer films. A lot of queer content gets, what's the word I used?
I don't know if you said demoted.
Yeah, I did, but I didn't quite mean that because it's
No.
quite difficult to say something on Netflix is a demotion these days because the
Well,
amount of people that
exactly.
see it and TV is very
Arguably, it gets
cinematic.
a further reach
Oh,
being
100%.
in home.
Yeah. But I would just like to see some more queer storylines weaved into bigger franchise films.
Yeah.
I don't want any more Thor Love and Thunder where The Rock Korg is gay, or at least says that he has a male whatever. I don't
Yeah.
want, like, I'm using some tentpoles here, but like Captain Marvel, we all know in the comics that Captain Marvel and
Yeah.
Valkyrie.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, we'll just pander to it a bit because we'll include Valkyrie for a little cameo, but we won't say anything more. I'd just like to see. I love what's happening at TV regarding queer stories.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I think we're going to get onto a couple of them by the looks of it.
Well, I've just written about All of Us Strangers, which we wanted to see, but at Leeds Film Festival, but didn't get the chance,
Is
and
that
that.
TV? That's film,
That's
isn't it?
film,
Yeah.
yeah. I'm jumping a bit all over, but that is going to be a queer film which does very well, and a lot of people talk about it, I can guarantee.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that one. But yeah, that's what I would like to see
I
about other
think
things.
similar but not quite the same. I'd quite like to see more characters in whatever we're watching who are incidentally LGBTQ+.
Yes.
So, like, it doesn't necessarily form, you know, the central plot. It doesn't necessarily further the plot, but they might kind of, I don't know, refer to the fact that they have a same-sex partner at home.
Yeah.
While they're out on this spy mission. Some, I don't know, stuff like that. Just where characters can still be relatable to our cishet friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
But are LGBTQ+. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think those are the characters that I would suggest as most important are cast according to their sexual orientation or gender identity.
I would agree.
I would also, which I did mention in the in the review of 2023, like to see more queer cinema that's set further back in time.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of...
I've seen a lot of kind onwards. Of late 20th century.
Yeah.
I want to see 1700s. I want to see 1800s. I want to see, you know what I mean? Like, a bit more history.
Yeah.
Because I love historical drama.
And that came off the back of us watching Fellow Travellers, which starts in the 50s. Yes. In the height of McCarthyism and the Red Scare.
But stuff like... Even, like, we know it's common knowledge, like, the ancient Greeks, the ancient Romans were having gay sex all of the time.
There were feral shaggers, weren't there? They were all shagging all the time.
They were top shaggers.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I can't think of a film about that's set in ancient Rome or ancient Greece that even mentions any form of... queer sex, love, relationship.
A little bit in some TV shows.
Bits and bobs. But... Some of it's a bit camp. Some of it's a bit kind of double entendre. But I want to see some stories.
Just
you know
give
what
us
I
more,
mean? I want to learn.
More. Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to see? I've got two other points.
No. You rattle off.
Okay,
with yours.
I'll keep going. I would like LGBTQ plus creators to be able to relax in the public arena. By that I mean kind of not us all always having to feel like something has to be a lesson or we have to have an agenda to kind of to achieve something for the LGBTQ plus community.
That's a good point.
Because
yeah.
I want like
normal.
Because we are all normal.
Yeah. I always remember something like when what was that film that gay film that won the Oscar? Moonlight.
Yeah.
It's like not every bit of queer content needs to be the like.
Yeah, yeah. And
hyper...
it doesn't need to have an agenda. It just is a story about a gay person.
I always hear a lot of that about black actors as well.
Yeah.
It's like some of them now will say, I'm not doing that film if I'm going to be a slave or I'm going to be this. Or it's like, yes, there are important stories to tell.
Yeah.
But maybe people wouldn't feel so like, oh, do we have to do... Like, in the gay world, oh, do I have to do another thing about the AIDS crisis? Yes, I understand it's important, but can't I just be a joyful...
There's lots of stories
...gay
to tell.
Man that is just living his best life and...
But even kind of out of the screen and out of the studio, I just think there is plenty of room for us all to just kind of be.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, even in amongst everything that we definitely need for, like, progress on rights, equality, social attitudes, all of those things definitely still need to change. But I just want to, like, people just need to... Everyone deserves that kind of space to just relax around it. And just be yourself out in the world, having a good time.
Yes.
And that's what I want to see. Because I think a lot of people stress themselves out and carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. Myself included.
Yes.
And finally, what I want to see from TV and film is more awards categories that are inclusive of non-binary gender identities. We know it can be done because in 2023, the Soul Train Awards...
Haven't the Grammys...
Which is a music award.
Some of the big Music Awards have done yeah. it. Haven't the Brits done it as well?
Well, the Soul Train Awards renamed the Lady of Soul Award category so that they could honour Janelle Monáe for their contribution to music. So why can't we have some more of those going on in film? Music's doing it, or starting to do it, so...
Film and film academies...
Let's come over a bit.
...quite conservative, like, yeah. the Academy is quite...
I know, it's been like that since yeah. the, you know, golden
like
era
how
of horror, Hollywood.
Genre films, it's all, no. like, biopics or...
Exactly.
...art house films, which are amazing at points and great, but it's like, can't we... I think... Some people are really saying for the Oscars they'd love to see like the best stunt category
yeah.
because then we'd start seeing some of these kind of more action blockbusters included
Definitely.
And all that kind of stuff.
Stunts and combat.
Yeah.
Really important skills that a lot of films wouldn't be without.
What I can't be fucked with already though is if the Oscars came out and said we're not having gendered awards, I just can't.
I don't mean don't have gendered awards, but more awards need categories that are inclusive of non-binary gender identities.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why they can't just have best actor.
Yeah.
Best performance, because does somebody's gender really make... Like, it's not necessarily a distinguishing factor what the performance is like.
No.
Depending on the gender.
There does pose the risk, I think...
That more men get it.
That more men would get it.
I know.
Just,
yeah.
just purely down to patriarchal
Life.
Bias.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
That, you know, most people aren't even conscious of when it's happening.
Yeah.
Likely ourselves included. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think that's necessarily what I'm asking for. But I just want to see kind of more acknowledgement.
Just keep the discussion going.
Just, yeah,
yeah.
Keep the conversation open. Try ideas. If they don't work, try something else. Don't be shy to not take a risk. To take a risk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see.
Cool.
In terms of LGBT representation.
Well, before we get to films then, me as the resident TV buff of Gays on Film, just wanted to talk about some shows that are coming that I've got my eye on. I've got quite an extensive list, so I am going to rail through them quite quickly.
Okay.
I'm going to start with a reality TV show, which is a bit of a curveball, but I can't wait for Traitors to be back.
Oh my God, Traitors the first time round was so camp,
I really
so
want
fun.
To see if its sophomore season can like recapture that.
What does sophomore mean?
Second.
Is it?
I think so.
Didn't know that.
Like, I want to see that it can recapture the magic that the first season did.
Yeah. Is it going to be Claudia Winkleman?
Yes.
Again. Fantastic.
And it's out on the 3rd of Jan. And apparently you can watch for 4 weeks. There's going to be an episode on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
But for the first week only, you can binge the first 3 episodes on iPlayer.
Oh.
So, yeah. It's just a shame BBC does.
Did they do
a
Traitors US?
Yes. But
and that
with
was celebrities.
People. Well, I think it was a mixture of the two.
And it was Alan Cumming.
Yeah.
Was the thing. So our US listeners might be familiar with that one. But if any of you can get access to the UK version and watch Claudia Winkleman hosting this, honestly, you will not be disappointed. It was so much fun. I'm very excited for the second one.
Okay. Same. I'm going to quickly run through returning franchises and shows that are on My Radar, The Boys Season 4, Interview with the Vampire Season 2. We have House of the Dragon Season 2, which I am so, so, so excited for. Like, I love anything Game of Thrones. And when they get it right, which they did, in my opinion, with Season 1. And apparently the way it goes is even more batshit with this whole Targaryen dynasty.
Is it all set before
yeah.
Game of Thrones? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's out. I think that's coming out in summer. We mentioned in our review of 2023 how we're looking forward to seeing Shuti Gatwa fully get into his Doctor Who-ness.
Yes.
So we've got that as well. The Penguin, which is a DC show set during the time of, well, it's like the Matt Reeves-iverse Batman, so Colin Farrell is back as the Penguin,
okay.
And it's giving, like, from what we've seen so far, like, Godfather kind of... What they're called? What? mafia, kind of underground mafia vibes.
Cool.
So there's that. Marvel will have a few shows, but one that is coming later in the year, and then this might be retitled, is Agatha, Coven of Chaos. I'm assuming that might come out towards Halloween. I would say out of all the shows that they're doing, I'm most excited for that one. Going to Star Wars now, The Acolyte. The reason I picked this one is it's a show set well before Phantom Menace, when there's like loads of Jedi around, and I always want to see like a show, or I've always either wanted a show or a film in Star Wars that is like set way back before the
where Jedis aren't like a rarity.
Yeah, there's just loads of them, and it's really cool. And okay. I hope there's loads of lightsaber fights. So that's like a lot of the franchises that are coming back. And then I just saw a bit of a list about some of the others. So Expats, the reason I picked this one is it's created by The Farewell's Lulu Wang. And The Farewell film is a film that I thought about for so long after it. And it was Awkwafina in a really serious role. And it was just a totally beautiful film. And I would love you to watch it at some point because you would adore it.
Okay.
But it had a bit of controversy because it was filmed in Hong Kong during COVID. It stars Nicole Kidman, and she was kind of given an exemption from quarantine. So it has all that. But ignoring all that kind of stuff, Lulu Wang doing a TV show, a long-form story, is something I am very excited for. Apparently, excellent. It's out at the end of Jan, so not that far away. Let me keep talking. You'd say what the next one is on the list, and I'll tell you about it.
What's Mary and George?
Oh, that's a gay one.
Oh, is it?
So it stars, we've seen a trailer of it, I think. It's got Julianne Moore and the guy who played the prince in Red, White and Royal Blue.
Yeah.
So she stars as Mary Villiers, the Countess of Buckingham, who has moulded her son to seduce James I in an attempt to gain unknowable power. Mary and George is based on a true love story. But if the trailer, which this article is talking about, with music by the Stooges and Moore lavishly slurring the word cockstruck, is any indication, this will be anything but dry. I've on The Guardian's website about TV coming. But there is a trailer, and the trailer looks right up our street. Looks horny, looks gay,
well,
historical, all that kind of stuff.
Sign me up.
Yeah, so that's going to be Sky Atlantic /now. Not sure when it is airing. Ask me another one.
Palm Royale.
So this is my Apple TV darling of my favourite streaming service. So it stars Kristen Wiig and Laura Dern. So sold straight away. Star in this fun piece of high camp about high society ladies who lunch in Palm Beach in 1969. Drenched in sunshine, it's a wild ride as Maxine, played by Wig, desperately tries to infiltrate an elite members club. All that kind of stuff.
Cool.
It's also got Alison Janney and Carol Burnett in it. And Ricky Martin stars as an evil waiter.
Well, like, I am sold.
Sign me up. High camp. Love it.
Right.
On Apple TV in the spring.
Make sure I watch that this year.
I cannot guarantee to get you to watch any TV show.
No, but remind me of what
this
is about.
I would literally say to you, Ned, we're going to pick a show that we watch together every quarter.
Yeah, and then half of them, I'm like, do you fancy watching this tonight? And you're like, nah, not tonight.
No, don't thingy the curtain, lift the curtain too much, but I just think it's realistic. That, and I'd love you to watch House of Dragons season 1 and The Last of Us season 1.
Okay, well, those last two are less likely to happen, but from this list that I'm looking at in front of me, I'm definitely going to watch Doctor Who. I really am sold on the idea of Palm Royale and Mary and George. So if those are the only three TV shows I watch this year, please make sure it happens for me.
Fab. Next one.
Three Body Problem.
Okay. I have to just remind myself. So this is apparently being said as it's Netflix's go at having a Game of Thrones style domination. It's based on a sprawling sci-fi series called Remembrance of Earth's Past, which has been endorsed by the likes of George R. R. Martin and Barack Obama. Set in the future, present and past, where Earth encounters aliens, the show has been brought to fruition by the team behind Game of Thrones, and it's like Netflix's next big thing.
Where have you read that?
Huh?
Where did you read that one?
All on the Guardian's website. All on the Guardian. But I'm pulling from my own knowledge as well.
Again. Well, I just don't want us to get like accused of plagiarism.
No, I'm just pulling from, I've pulled from different sources. But yeah, so that's meant to be on Netflix in the spring as well.
Cool. Masters of the Air.
So this one it looks a bit Band of Brothers kind of thing. You know Band of Brothers?
No.
It's a war drama, basically. Right. But it's got Austin Butler as the title character. It's got Barry Keoghan in as well.
Who's the title character?
Major Gail Cleven.
Okay.
But, so it's set... So it follows a book of the same... Well, not quite the same name. And it follows the actions of the 100th Bomb Group of the United States Army Air Force during World War II, a unit nicknamed the Bloody Hundredth due to the heavy losses it incurred during combat missions. It looks incredibly, like, high-budget, kind of... Just looks really good. Mm. And there has been a trailer out from this, and it does look great. And I think it's out quite soon at the end of January.
Lovely.
But yeah, when a war film or TV show is done very well, I am 100% on board.
Cool. Did you already do Shogun?
Oh, I haven't, but actually this is up there with something that is high on my list of anticipation. So it's very, it kind of samurai, an English sailor who ends up shipwrecked in Japan, clashing of cultures. It looks very much like The Last Samurai, but I love all that kind of Japanese history and all that kind of thing. And I love if it's done well, like the choreography of the fights and all that kind of thing. That is going to Hulu in America at the end of February, which normally means it comes to us via Disney Plus.
Great. Tattooist of Auschwitz.
Well, people will probably recognise the name because it was an absolutely massively best-selling book that everybody seemed to have, sold 3 million copies, and this is finally the television adaptation of it. I don't know any more than that, other than a lot of people will recognise it and will have read the book.
Yeah.
It's coming to Sky Atlantic, which normally means it has a decent like caliber about it because they tend to do good shows. But yeah, it's something that I will like to check out because I know that I'm probably never now going to read the book, but I'd like to see what the story is about.
We've got the book. If you are inclined to read it.
Yes, but my reading list is ever growing.
Too long.
Yes.
Breathtaking.
Oh, so this is. So we haven't had that many COVID dramas yet.
Oh, is this a COVID drama?
Yeah, so we had that one I didn't like where with the Boris Johnson impersonation. Who was doing it?
Not Kenneth Branagh.
Yes, it was. Kenneth Branagh. We had that great one with the Liverpudlian actress,
Jodie Comer.
Jodie Comer. That was phenomenal.
Oh, that was harrowing.
It was, yeah. But this one is written by, and it's a new series from Jed Mercurio, who does the likes of Line of Duty, and he writes a lot of some of the best known British dramas in the last however many years. It's based on a memoir, and it's basically about struggling healthcare workers during the terrifying early days. So it's a period of time we've seen, but I think I expect that we will see more COVID-type dramas, and I think it will be an important one for people to see in a cinematic recreation type.
Great.
Where?
Yeah.
ITV, that's going to be, but we don't know when.
How about The Regime?
This is another one that's very high up my list. The trailer is already out, and I have shared this on our story. It's like a political satire, and it's written by some of the people who were behind Succession. It's about a crumbling, with not named, Central European authoritarian regime.
Okay.
And it has Kate Winslet in and Hugh Grant. And Kate Winslet is this kind of dictator. And people are already saying that
role
it's
for
like
Kate Winslet.
Honestly,
take.
The trailer is so good. I'm obsessed with it already. It's okay. Like, people are already saying it's like potential best show of 2024 kind of thing. It's on Sky Atlantic. It's coming from HBO in America. It is going to be one that people will want to watch.
Smashing. And finally, The Sympathizer.
So this is one I have heard a little bit about a while ago, because it stars Robert Downey Jr. And it's kind of in his post-Oppenheimer success since he said goodbye to the character of Iron Man.
Mm.
It's based on and I can never say this word, Pulitzer-winning novel,
Pulitzer,
yeah, about a Vietnamese spy sent to America. So, yeah, again,
cracking
another HBO show that's gonna do very well. There's so much telly.
Yeah.
There's so much telly.
And you'll watch it all.
I'll try my best.
Yeah.
But that was just a snapshot of things to come. And again, with telly, my list of TV this year, some of them I didn't even know were coming out this year, and they've made it onto my top moments of 2023.
Mm.
So that's a bit of a look at TV. So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a little quick ad break, and then we'll be back with you to discuss our 2024 movies that we most anticipate.
But only five of them.
Only five. Yeah.
Each. See you in a sec.
Bye.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Righto then, what shall we talk about first?
Shall we do what we did in our 2023, where we did one each? We did that for our biggest disappointments, though, but hopefully none of these will make the list next year.
Yeah, okay.
I would like you to go up first, because the first one on your list I've never even heard of.
Well, I only came across it by accident, because I was looking for a different trailer, and this one was in the sidebar on YouTube, and I thought, oh, I'll watch that trailer, and it looks really good. So, He Went That Way it's a film based on true events about a serial killer and what I can only assume is an accidental accomplice. So Jacob Elordi's character hitchhikes or like flags Zachary Quinto, who's driving along, down, and then adventure ensues, much to the distaste, I think, of Zachary Quinto. It looks like it's going to have a little bit of maybe homoerotic flirtation in there. So that might be quite fun. And I think it's going to be quite an exciting one to look out for. It's getting a limited release in cinemas on January the 5th.
But in then, this country?
Yeah. I checked the dates, and I think it's all of these dates that I'm going to say are UK.
Okay.
But then it's on streaming really soon after on the 14th. So we'll be able to watch that really, really soon. I think it'll be quite like gunfire-y. It looks like it's got a nice kind of filter on the camera, like
oh.
A little bit sort of peach tones with nice looking outfits and cars and motels, stuff like that.
When did you say it was set? Or when does it look like it's set?
Looks to be kind of 70s, 80s,
right. Okay.
Maybe cool. 90s at a push. Not really sure. It's definitely late 20th century is what I would guess.
Amazing.
Yeah. So how about you?
Well, I'm starting with a film that we should have already seen, which was a victim of the SAG-AFTRA strike.
Yes.
But of course, it is Denis Villeneuve's Dune Part 2.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, Dune Part 1 was high up our list of favourite films that we saw in that year. And just expanding the world and, you know, revisiting, obviously, Timothée Chalamet, Zendaya as Charney will have a much bigger role, but also bringing in kind of Austin Butler, Florence Pugh, Leah Sadeau, oh God, what's the other guy called who's in the trailer? It's Christopher Walken, who plays the mm-hmm. Emperor. Like, I just find, from reading as much as of the book I have already, the fact that they've been able to successfully adapt this so far, because it's such a dense book with yeah. so much stuff going on.
Yeah.
I just cannot wait to be back in this world. And I really, really hope it does well, because Villeneuve has said he would like to do Part 3, which would be an adaptation of the second book.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently those first two books are like, you could leave the story after.
Yeah.
There's loads more books, but we're not going to see more.
Okay.
But he'd like, yeah, Dune Messiah, he would like to do that and to cap off his trilogy. And I am just phenomenally, just could not be more excited. I want to see it on the biggest screen possible.
It'll definitely be IMAX, won't it?
I want Hans Zimmer's score to blow me away again. And yeah, the trailers look amazing that we've seen so far. We actually saw the trailer on the newest trailer on the big screen yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Take my money. Take my money.
Excellent.
Just cannot wait for that.
Smashing. Oh, I will say as well, all of these that we're running through now, I'm going to put link to the trailers in the show notes. Unfortunately, we don't have lots of sparkles in this episode because... it'd be nothing but sparkles. But yes, you can watch the trailers. Some of them are only teasers at this point, but hopefully they shall pique your interest. Shall I go for my next one?
Go for it.
So my next one is Mean Girls.
I cannot believe that this is on your list after the first trailer.
Why?
Because that trailer is awful.
You put it on my list.
I just kind of started putting some ideas for you.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I decided it could stay on my list because it's out very soon. It's on January the 12th. It is a new cast, apart from Tina Fey returns, and I think she's had quite a hand in kind of the production side of it as well. It is a movie of the musical of the movie.
A movie of the musical of the movie. Yes.
Yes. And I think it's probably going to be kind of Mean Girls, but in the 2020s rather than in the noughties, pretty much. Yeah.
I'm
with
not
music.
Holding out hope for it, but we shall see.
No, I think it'll be a fun couple of hours.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting kind of genre-defining content here, but hopefully it gives us some kind of good one-liners and a few laughs along the way.
Great.
Yeah?
Uh-huh.
How about you?
My next one is Mickey 17. Now, all I know about this is it is directed by Bong Joon-ho, who won the Oscar for Parasite, and I have revisited some of his films since Parasite, and I just think he's a phenomenal, phenomenal filmmaker, and I could not wait as soon as Parasite was done to see what he did next. And this is his follow-up. It's based on a science fiction novel, follows the the titular character, Mickey 17, who's an expendable, who is a disposable employee on a human expedition sent to colonise the ice world of Nilfheim. After one iteration dies, a new body is regenerated and most of his memories intact. So it's very science fiction-y. It'll probably have some sort of commentary on...
Is it South Korean or is it...
I think he might have gone... Be directing a West, like a Western.
Like a Hollywood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially with the cast. I don't know what trailer you've linked to this because there's no trailer out yet.
It's literally just like 33 seconds of. Oh, it's Robert Pattinson's face.
Yeah, all we've seen is that kind of first picture, slight moving picture of Robert Pattinson, but it's got Robert Pattinson, Stephen Young, Naomi Aki, Toni Collette, and Mark Ruffalo. I was hoping to see something of this soon because it is out at the end of March. So I would expect a trailer pretty soon in the new year. But I just literally just cannot wait to see what Bong Joon-ho does next. Great. So that is high on my list.
Exciting. When's it out? Did you say?
I did. End of March.
I wasn't listening.
I think. Well, that's the US release.
Right,
so I'm sure it'll be around the same time.
Yeah. My next one is another late March release for the US, UK date yet to be confirmed, Arthur the King.
What is this one as well?
So, I watched the trailer, it looks really cute actually. Mark Wahlberg is the main character. He is, by the looks of it, like a competitor in like adventure races.
Right.
So I'm talking kind of crossing a country through all sorts of terrain on many different forms of transport, bikes, running, kayaks, zip lines, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like this world championship race is in the Dominican Republic and they've got to get across the country. And for whatever reason, there is a dog who Mark Wahlberg feeds some meatballs in the like
meatballs?
Early scene. And somehow this dog is popping up right along the race route. And I'm just fascinated to see where it'll go. I think it's going to be really, really cute. Like, I love a kind of man and his best friend dog type partnership in a film. I think it's going to be an emotional roller coaster. And it's based on real events. So it could be quite heartwarming.
Well, I've just Googled it. And one thing I am liking it, in the cast it says... Bear Grylls as himself.
As himself,
yeah.
Yes. So, very exciting.
But it's also got Simu Liu, Nathalie Emmanuel, who people will recognise from Game of Thrones and the Fast franchise. So there are some names in there. Looks quite sweet. Sweet premise. Heartwarming. Just not that big of a fan of Mark Wahlberg all the time, but
I mean, do you see Mark Wahlberg all the time? Like,
no, I just, some of his films, I just think,
everyone's allowed a hit and a miss.
A what?
A hit and a miss.
I thought you said a hypnotist. I was like,
if you want to.
Yeah.
Go on then, what's your fourth one?
So we
Third
did this
one?
In...
Third one.
We did this in Trailer Trash or Treasure recently, and it's Furiosa and Mad Max Saga.
Yeah.
Saw this trailer again this week on the big screen, and I am totally obsessed with it. I think it looks so good.
Okay.
And I think if you watch Mad Max Fury Road, you would be very excited for this film.
I think I'm going to
make
an effort to watch both of them, actually, the Mad Maxes.
Yeah. So this follows a young Furiosa, played by Anya Taylor-Joy. It's got Chris Hemsworth in, who is almost unrecognisable. But what I'm liking is it's George Miller again, who did Mad Max Fury Road, and he seems to have captured that really over-the-top colour palette and sent the action is like, it doesn't look real, but that's the point. It's kind of a fantastical kind of look to it all.
Yeah.
I love the colour palette. Think it looks really good, and the score sounds amazing already.
Yeah.
And I just think it'll be out in like the beginning of summer blockbuster season, and I just can't wait for it.
Great.
Yeah.
So early summer for that one, is it?
Yes, end of May.
End of May.
Yeah.
Lovely. My next one we also did in Trailer Trash or Treasure recently. Civil War.
We did.
I'm really interested by it. So it's out on April 26th in the UK in IMAX. So I think that'll be entertaining. Set in the near future after a civil war is ignited in the US. Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons, a handful of other familiar faces play a group of journalists trying to kind of cover the events of the Civil War, basically. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's going to be really high stakes, very dangerous. Nick Offerman plays the president of the US. And in the trailer, I'm quite convinced by that performance, I think. So, yeah, look forward to that one in late April.
Great.
Any more from you?
Should on be. That one, or you no, mean my next
on
film?
On your next one.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
I am a massive fan of this franchise. I loved previously the Matt Reeves trilogy, and I was sold on the trailer for this. It's set 300 years after the events of the previous film. It's hopefully going to be the kickoff of a new trilogy. And I just think it looks so cool. I just love these films. I don't know why. I just think it's a franchise that people don't... When people name franchises, it's not necessarily top of the list. But when people do mention it, especially the last trilogy, you're like, actually, that was really good.
I've only seen the 1970s ones.
They were on your franchise rewatch list, weren't they? Which you might have to circle back to before
one. I think they remade the first one, like, standalone.
Yeah. Have you seen the Tim Burton one in your rewatch yet?
That's the one I need to watch next if I want to stick in chronological order.
But I have a feeling
in release order, even. And then I've never seen any of the newer ones.
I have a feeling that Matt Reeves' trilogy was, like, right at the start of how this Planet of the Apes came about.
Yeah.
And I think the films that you're watching right now is, like, in the way in the future, when the apes do run the world.
Yeah.
And I feel like this trilogy might be kind of between those two.
Somewhere in the middle. Cool.
Not necessarily that this will lead into the original.
Yeah.
But I think if we're on that kind of timeline... It'll be interesting to see it without Andy Serkis anymore as Caesar. It will feel quite different, but it looks quite similar in the way it's shot. I've got a bit of a worry about the director, just because he did the Maze Runner films, which weren't very good. Wes Ball. But we can see what happens.
Yep, no, fair enough.
And everything I've read and everything I've seen sounds positive, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. When's it out?
That's May as well, I think. End of May as well.
Right.
Yeah.
For my fifth and final, I am jumping right to the end of the year. Christmas Day, 2024, we are seeing Nosferatu.
We won't get it on Christmas Day, but it will be around then.
Oh, okay.
Films... So, in the US, Christmas Day is one of the busiest days at the cinema.
Is it?
Yeah, because a lot of America don't necessarily celebrate Christmas Day.
Ah, yeah, but they won't have anything else to do because everyone's off.
Yeah, so it's literally one of the busiest day, if not the busiest day at cinemas in
that
the US.
That is so interesting.
Whereas our cinemas aren't even open.
No.
So, I'm not even sure if we will get it.
Oh, well, that's a shame.
No, I think it might be a Boxing Day film in this country, maybe.
I thought I had confirmed on the internet that was the UK release date, but apologies to any listeners who get their hopes
up. I do think
Christmas
it'll be 2024, but it will be late 2024.
Anyway, it is Robert Eggers making it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be... The trailer looks kind of silly but fun and a bit kind of dark and scary, set in a high school that wants to kind of put on a production of Nosferatu. The teacher's giving kind of creepy vibes. There's a couple of teens in there also giving creepy vibes, and I think it's going to be fun, bloody, bit camp, bit silly, maybe even a bit scary. And so I'm looking forward to that at the end of the year.
I am also very much looking forward to Nosferatu, yes. especially a Robert Eggers Nosferatu.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes. Also, it gives me a fun excuse to watch the original, finally.
Yeah. That is old.
Really old. Do you want to give us your fifth and final?
My fifth and final one that I am looking forward to is Gladiator 2. If Ridley Scott can recapture the feeling of the original Gladiator, we are in for a treat. I do think so far in this decade, his films have been slightly mixed. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed The Last Duel. House of Gucci was fine. Wasn't that big of a fan of Napoleon. Found it a bit of a disappointment overall. But we've got Paul Mescal playing the lead character in this one, who is kind of now approaching these bigger blockbuster Hollywood household name, which is really nice to see.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm just buzzing to see it, to be honest. We've not seen anything from it, no teaser, no pictures, no nothing yet. But I'm still very much on board with a good story. I love that kind of historical epic films.
Yeah, yeah, same.
And when they're really good, I think they're really, really good.
Smashing.
So that's our top five each.
I mean, yeah, and it was difficult to even narrow it down.
I just kind of randomly picked because there's so many I'm looking forward to. There's all sorts
coming out. I mean, we've got like Argyle coming out soon with Henry Cavill and Dua Lipa.
I was going to just race through some names. I feel like I'm going to do like a, you know, like when we go to Cineworld and it says, with your unlimited card, you can watch all these films.
Yeah.
I'm just going to list a few off.
Right, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Just to name a few. So we did five each. But as Ned's just said, we've got Argyle. We've got Lisa Frankenstein. We've got Madame Webb. We have Kung Fu Panda 4. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. The First Omen. Godzilla vs. King, The New Empire. Challengers, the Luca Guadagnino one. That was another one that got delayed. The Fall Guy, that silly one with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. If, the Garfield movie, Ballerina, which is in the same one as
John Wick,
and written by no other than Emerald Fennell. Inside Out 2, The Bike Riders, A Quiet Place, Day One, Despicable Me 4, Twisters, Deadpool 3, Alien Romulus, Kraven the Hunter, Beetlejuice 2, Saw 11, Joker, Folie de, I never know how to say
Folie
de. Yeah, that what Joker 2, Smile 2, Venom, Let There Be Carnage sequel, Wicked Part 1, an animated Lord of the Rings film called Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim, an untitled The Karate Kid film, Mufasa, The Lion King, and Sonic the Hedgehog 3, to name
but a few. I mean, yeah. So, obviously, plenty to look forward to this year. I have a question for you, though, King.
Okay.
If you had to pick one that you're most looking forward to this year, probably out of the 10 we've discussed, is it the same as the one I think I am most looking forward to?
Do you want to go first then, maybe? So I could maybe say a different one.
Do you want to 3, 2, 1 and see if it is the same?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, June Part 2. I knew it. It just is, isn't it? The first one was so good and set the world up so intricately and amazingly, and the music. Oh, I just love it. I can't wait for another installment. Really excited.
Yeah. That was definitely going to be mine. Yeah. Now, if you could pick another one.
I don't want to. That is mine.
Oh, right. Okay. That's fine.
Why?
Just wondering, because that was out of my list.
Well, I chose my five knowing what your five were, and I didn't want to be repeating all of that.
Okay, that's fine.
But we do have to pick one, and I'm glad it's the same.
But here's to another wonderful year of film and TV.
Absolutely.
Although I have seen that apparently all the billionaires are building doomsday bunkers. So we might not even get to see any of them.
Oh,
but
fuck's sake.
Let's just see what happens there.
Great. Well, that's all for this time. Normal service will resume next week. If you have enjoyed this episode of Gaze on Film, please subscribe, rate and comment on your podcast platform of choice. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. We are at Gaze on Film Pod, and you can check out our Letterboxd accounts. Links to those are in the show notes. We would love to hear your thoughts, so please do feel free to drop us a message.
Yeah, let us know what you're, what you're most looking forward to.
If any trailers come out that, you know, tickle your fancy and you want us to do them on Trailer Trash or Treasure, send them our way. We're open. I've been Ned.
And I've been Declan.
And this has been Gaze on Film. I don't know why I tripped over my words then. Thanks for listening and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye.